thanks so much for speaking to us this morning.
It's a pleasure.
So I guess, you know, for people who do turn around and say like, oh, your dog only actually loves you because, you know, it wants to be fed, blah, 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 all the rest of the excuses that do sort of come out. You know, what is this research that's just come out actually said?
Well, there's a paper that I read about in the newspaper the other day, that a scientific paper that was reported, that says that the way dogs lift their eyebrows and sort of widen their eyes when they look at you is something they only do for humans. They don't do it for other dogs. So they've adapted in their relationship with us to go, I'm looking at you, I love you, as it were. And we, of course, respond to that look because it's the sort of look we do to each other. But the other thing is that there's generally science that shows that dogs have adapted, you know, descended from a proto-wolf or whatever before, not necessarily wolves as we know them, which don't socialise well with humans, but some wolf way back realised they were getting a better deal if they hung around with humans. And there is an aspect of that. And they gradually, humans in fact bred the more and more affectionate and docile dogs to have around them. So we have actually made a breed of sort of loving animals, if you like, over the eons. The other thing to think about is that people say, oh, it's anthropomorphism to imagine that a dog loves you, you know, because you can't really know what it's thinking. But for one thing, why wouldn't you? It's a mammal like us, like lots of other mammals. And if it's behaving like it looks like it loves you, why wouldn't you assume that that's the case? So that's another sort of scientific argument. The other thing is that they have been putting dogs in scanners, essentially, and scanning their brain with them. So they've trained dogs to lie still while their brains were being scanned. And it's clear that, you know, the emotional side of their brains lights up for images or sounds of their owners and that sort of thing.
So it does actually sound, I guess, like there are some similarities between how, I guess, maybe dogs process emotion and humans. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, very much so. And dogs, in my experience and that of lots of others, they're not just self-interested. I mean, I have seen my dog, as a puppy, another dog stepped in to defend him and stand between him and some attacking dogs just because he was part of her pack. And the other day at dog training, he did a similar thing. A young Alsatian that was rather flighty had a puppy going up and getting in its face, and it turned on the puppy. And much to my disgust, you know, initially my dog walked over and just stood between them. I was thinking, oh, he's going to get into this fight. But no, he just stood there and calmed things down. And I've seen him do that on a number of occasions. So they have moral behaviours towards each other, and I suspect towards us as well.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's fascinating research as well, I guess, with the whole, you know, scanning the brains and stuff. Now we've got like scientific proof that, hey, you know, I guess, has it really sort of advanced our understanding of, I guess, you know, any emotions that dogs feel, or has this sort of research been floating around for a little while?
Bits of it have been floating around for a little while. I went to a conference recently where someone pointed out that there's a very crucial period of bonding for dogs, which I think is roughly between 4 and 12 weeks. So if they're going to bond with humans, that it's similar to how, you know, babies, if they're, or monkeys for that matter, you know, brought up with no mother and no affection, will just be completely unable to have those emotions, right? You know, but they have shown that dogs between 4 and 12 weeks, this is a crucial bonding period for dogs. So if they're in a home or if they're with people, they're much more likely, and with other dogs or whatever stimuli it is, they'll be more adapted to that in later life. But what's more, they show, and this is rather tragic, that they'll be bonded even if that person is cruel to them.
Oh, yeah, that's sad.
It is sad, but there you are.
Well, you know, I suppose, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
I guess there's another story I'd like to tell. A friend of mine had a farm in the country, and he had working dogs, and they were fed every night by the guy who minded the farm. And he went up only every couple of weeks, whatever, and actually worked with the dogs rounding up the cattle or whatever they were doing. And the dogs were much more bonded to him because he was the one who interacted with them, if you like.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Played games with them from their point of view, played games with them, you know.
Yeah, not so dissimilar to human kids, I guess.
Yeah, so it wasn't who fed the dog that was crucial. You know, that isn't to say that, giving dogs treats isn't a good way to train them. It is. But, you know, some dogs don't like treats and react better just to affection or a mixture of both, you know.
And so, Gillian, as well, I guess you have directed a documentary film called Baxter and Me. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well, the main story of the film is a year in my life with my big brown Labrador, Baxter.
Oh.
And so it sort of goes through the seasons and what we do. I am a dog trainer and volunteer on the weekends doing that. So there's some of that, and there's just some of us walking, him playing, all the things that we do together, him demanding dinner, you know, him demanding to bring in the mail, that sort of stuff. But that then the film flashes back to other parts of my life via my other dogs. So I was an early feminist, you know, early woman working in the film industry in male jobs, those sorts of things. And so it really goes back to, I guess, the late 60s, early 70s onwards in my life via the past dogs, not all of whom I think I looked after as well as I should have.
Well, it's definitely pretty interesting, and it's, you know, a lot of the studies that are coming out, well, I guess we'll have to keep an eye on. But Gillian, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure, and have a great day.
You too.
And to the listeners, thanks. Bye.